This is Brian Cambria, and I have this news for you. On Tuesday, December 18th, 2012, yesterday was the deadline to file official protests of the parcels the Bureau of Land Management is planning to offer for oil and gas leasing at their February sale. The BLM says they received a significant amount of feedback on the North Fork Valley parcels so far, but was unable to put a number value on the comments so soon after the close of the deadline. Local conservationists say they submitted a substantial number of protests, arguing that the BLM must withdraw the North Fork parcels from this sale, and that the agency has failed to ensure it adequately considers current economies, resources, and public land uses in their decision. According to a release, the Paonia Town Council approved a protest last week asking that every North Fork Valley parcel proposed for lease be removed from the sale. The Gunnison County Commissioners also sent a letter of objection asking the BLM to further review possible impacts. Some of that criticism is based on the fact that the BLM's guiding land policy plan for this area was last updated in 1989. Conservation groups and citizens are asking the BLM to wait on leasing until it finishes the update on that plan, already in progress. According to a release, agricultural groups like the Valley Organic Growers Association, Slow Food Western Slope, and the West Elk Winery Association all filed protests. National wildlife groups also filed protests, as did some local conservation groups. Those included Citizens for a Healthy Community and Western Environmental Law Center, as well as the Conservation Center and High Country Citizens Alliance in Crested Butte. In a split decision, Delta County Commissioners voted down a proposed gravel pit near Crawford yesterday, citing seven issues that influenced their decision. KVNF's Marty Derlin has the story.
Commissioners Bruce Hovde and Doug Atchley voted to deny the controversial gravel pit proposal, which had drawn fire from surrounding residents as well as real estate professionals and health advocates. A hearing on the proposal attracted a crowd 2 weeks ago, and many returned on Monday to hear the commissioner's ruling. The reasons for denial, enumerated by the county's planning department, included potential negative impacts of dust, noise, decreased property values, loss of views, and quality of life. The county stated that the gravel pit was incompatible with the residential area bordering the proposed site and inconsistent with the county's master plan goals, including the preservation of a rural lifestyle. Private property rights, a core value of Delta County's master plan, do not give somebody the right to impose negative impacts on adjacent properties, said the county. Commissioner Bruce Hovde also noted a previously denied gravel pit near Delta, saying the conditions were similar.
With those conditions being in proximity to the city of Delta, and this one in proximity to the town of Crawford.
But Olin Lund, who retires from the board after representing the North Fork end of the county for the past 8 years, voted against his fellow commissioners.
I will disagree with that motion. Reasons being that there were several items identified in that hearing. I think they can be, or it would be possible to mitigate those items. And so therefore it could be done with a minimum of impact.
A disappointed applicant, Larry Jensen, left the meeting as a somewhat stunned group of Crawford residents looked at each other with relief. In other business, the commissioners approved their 2013 budget of around $25 million and set various mill levies. They discussed adopting an ordinance that would opt out of Amendment 64, disallowing commercial marijuana establishments for recreational use in the unincorporated areas. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
A U.S. District Court judge has rejected a proposed settlement between two energy companies over allegations of collusion on gas leases in western Colorado. The U.S. Justice Department filed a civil complaint against SG Interests and Gunnison Energy Corporation, alleging that in 2005 the two companies agreed that only SG would bid on the leases and then give half of them to Gunnison Energy. The Department of Justice says that's illegal under U.S. antitrust laws. In February, the Department of Justice filed a settlement with the companies for antitrust and false claims violations, which allows that if Gunnison Energy Corporation and SG Interests each pay $275,000 to the government, the lawsuit will be resolved. That's the amount the Department of Justice determined the U.S. government lost from the companies not competing at the Bureau of Land Management auction. Last week, Senior District Judge Richard P. Match decided that settlement wasn't sufficient. Many of the public comments on the proposed settlement said it was inadequate to cure the alleged violation. In his written decision, Match says that Gunnison Energy's response to those comments display, quote, unrepentant arrogance, end quote, and that it considers this antitrust action to be meritless. Match says, quote, it is not in the public interest to approve a final judgment that permits a defendant to leave its civil action in such a smirking, self-righteous attitude, end quote. In addition, Match says that the settlement would not deter these defendants and others in the industry from similar practices. Ultimately, he denied the motion to approve the settlement. A Gunnison County Sheriff's deputy is in trouble for not getting permission to participate in an alleged interrogation at billionaire Bill Koch's Bear Ranch. Kirby Martinson, a former executive in Koch's Oxbow Corporation, has accused Koch of kidnapping and holding him against his will. In a lawsuit, he claims he was brought to Koch's ranch in March, where he was fired from his position of senior vice president. Martinson says there was a deputy present to make sure he didn't run away. CBS News reports that Gunnison deputy Clarence Bill Hart was hired to work off-duty in case there was trouble, but he never told Gunnison County Sheriff Rick Biesecker about it. Biesecker told CBS he has asked the Colorado Bureau of Investigation to investigate the claim that one of his uniformed deputies and his patrol car were involved in the alleged kidnapping. CBS reports that according to the investigation, Deputy Hart was hired for $50 per hour and paid $500 at the end of the day. He admitted using his patrol car for the off-duty job, but did not record the miles added to the vehicle. He also said the incident was a mistake. Hart has been given a one-day suspension and ordered to create a class on ethics. Gun laws, marijuana reform, and oil and gas regulations. These will be just a few of the hot-button issues that state lawmakers grapple with during the next legislative session. Governor John Hickenlooper and legislative leaders outlined their thoughts in a panel at the Colorado Press Association. Benta Berkland was there and has more from the state capitol.
The annual forum took on a somber tone in the wake of the mass school shooting in Connecticut. Governor Hickenlooper, looking shell-shocked, opened the gathering with a moment of silence for the victims.
I can't put into words how impossible it seems to me that this could happen again so suddenly, so rapidly.
Republican Senate Minority Leader Bill Cadman of Colorado Springs says the tragedy especially resonates for Coloradans who are still dealing with the aftermath of this summer's theater shooting in Aurora. But he says he doesn't think stricter gun laws will prevent these types of crimes.
The real bottom line here is there's 300 million people in this country. Someone somewhere is planning to do harm to somebody at any given day. And all the laws in the world aren't going to stop it. Criminals will still do criminal acts.
To stand here and say there's nothing we can do, I don't think is right.
That's incoming Democratic Senate President John Morse of Colorado Springs. A former police officer, Morse says he has no doubt lawmakers will debate an assault weapons ban during the next session.
When you've got an assault weapon where every time you pull the trigger, a bullet comes out of that gun and you can attach 100 round clips to it, that means that I can crank off 100 rounds before I have to take a break to reload and you can try to get that gun away from me. We don't need those weapons in the city streets.
Democrats, who now hold a majority in both legislative chambers, are also poised to introduce measures to crack down on hydraulic fracturing or fracking. House Speaker designee Mark Ferrandino says many in his party are not satisfied the state has enough protections in place, or that the current setback distance between oil and gas wells and homes and schools is far enough.
But I think when you look at what the conversation at the commission is, I think there's an openness to looking at that. And my hope is that the rulemaking will be done in a way that we bring both the environmental community as well as the oil and gas community together.
The Colorado Oil and Gas Commission is currently considering whether to increase the setback distance. Governor Hickenlooper says he won't insert himself into the middle of the debate, noting that fracking has been around a long time.
There are very positive benefits that come from horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, such as the inexpensive natural gas. I mean, our air is significantly cleaner in the United States today than it was even 6 years ago. For communities that have never experienced oil and gas exploration, it's alarming for them. What we've been trying to work towards is ways that we can balance those anxieties.
Legislative leaders say job creation and increasing education funding will be other top priorities. Democrats are also expected to pass a civil unions measure and a bill to offer illegal immigrants who graduate from Colorado high schools a lower tuition rate than they currently pay. The session begins on January 9th. I'm Benta Berkland.
As KVNF reported yesterday, this year's drought has had big impacts on ranchers across the state. Now, agricultural economists at Colorado State University are surveying farmers and ranchers to better understand the impact of the 2012 drought on Colorado agriculture and to design effective management tools for dry times ahead. Researchers expect more drought and are trying to improve the resiliency of agriculture and rural communities in Colorado. The CSU survey project is funded with $35,000 from the Colorado Water Conservation Board and the Colorado Department of Agriculture. Economists are particularly interested in responses from an estimated 6,000 Colorado farms and ranches with annual income surpassing $100,000. According to the Colorado Department of Agriculture, these producers form the core of the state's agricultural industry, which contributes some $40 billion each year to the state economy. Among other issues, the survey asks producers about the likelihood that drought could force them out of farming and ranching altogether. It also asks about tools and strategies producers need to improve management effectiveness in the face of drought. Colorado producers may complete the online questionnaire by visiting the CSU website. The link will be posted on today's newscast page at kvnf.org. Farmers and ranchers are encouraged to complete the questionnaire by January 1st, so economists may begin compiling data shortly after the first of the year. And finally, most Montrose County offices will be closed at 2:30 p.m. on Thursday to accommodate a countywide employee meeting. All critical functions will remain on duty or on call as required. Regular business hours will resume on Friday. Thus concludes the newscast. This is Brian Cambria for KVNF News. Good day.